From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. So there's this show on Apple TV Plus called Severance. It's a dystopian satire which revolves around work-life balance, but like radical work-life balance. The employees of the fictional company in the show get brain surgery to completely sever their personal lives from their work lives. Anyway, we're watching it for our Econ Extra credit this month because there's a lot in there from the real world. For example, the idea of forced fun in the workplace. Here's the creator of Severance, Dan Erickson.
Sort of, you know, saying it's like casual Fridays, wear what you want, but don't wear anything you want. You know, it's giving them this sort of illusion of self-expression and individuality and merriment for a moment before it's sort of taken away.
My colleague David Brancaccio spoke with Adam Waits, a business professor at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University, about forced fun in the workplace.
So there's this standout moment in the show where an employee of this fictitious firm called Lumen Industries, no one knows what they actually do, earns a reward for performance on some work task. The middle manager then wheels in a cart with little musical instruments on it. So everyone has to participate in a celebratory music and dance scene.
You may choose one genre and one accessory.
The maraca. Excellent choice.
Should have gone for the castanets.
I choose defiant jazz.
Though this experience is in Heli's honor, I urge all the refiners to take advantage of the opportunity presented.
The employees go along reluctantly and start dancing on command. I don't know, Professor, they look queasy, or maybe they're getting into it a little bit, but you've looked at organized socializing in the workplace. It ends up leaving you a bit queasy?
Yeah, I think, you know, work has come to dominate our lives so much, certainly before the pandemic and during it, that, you know, once you start meshing work life and social life together, it makes me feel like what is left of our social life. That's my concern.
All of this hybrid work that we've been going through, and companies are trying to get people to connect with each other and be sure people have a voice and we know who we're working with. I mean, sometimes they try this. Is that so bad?
Well, I think for newer employees, it could be a good thing. They want a sense of what is the company culture like? Who do I need to know? Who do I need to avoid? What are my networking opportunities? But I think for a lot of us, again, you know, we're so stuck to work. We have work in our pockets at all times, on our smartphones. We get emails on off hours. We're thinking about work on the weekends, on our commutes. We're listening to productivity podcasts, that I think socializing at work just kind of adds another layer to our work life and doesn't really do much for the social connection aspect for most of us.
I think we both worry about the alternative, though, right? No fun seems bleak day after day of PowerPoint and fiscal year 2023 briefings. If the boss wants to pay for a rack of tiny cupcakes to honor Snodgrass over there, you know, so what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do love those cupcakes. You know, the interesting thing, though, is I feel like when the cupcakes get introduced, that's absolutely a great time for mixing and connection and all that. But in my experience, it feels like in those circumstances, people kind of go to their own people. They break off into their cliques. Or what do you end up talking about once the sugar high of the cupcake wears down? You end up just talking about work more. So I'm more of a fan of disconnection rather than forced socializing.
Turn off the Zoom. But seriously, I mean, employers may want people to like being at work. They may be earnest in trying to foster these occasional moments of what they think is fun. Is there a way to do it without making the forced fun mistake?
Absolutely. I think the intentions behind a lot of these socializing events are good. You know, people want recognition. People want a sense of being connected to something larger than themselves. People want a sense of shared purpose across the company. And you know, a lot of these socializing events can help with that. All of those components are critical to boosting employee engagement. I think the best thing that my organization has done, though, is just put a do-it-yourself coffee station on one floor of the building. And that gives you kind of socializing without the forced aspect. People go to the coffee station naturally on their own time. There's a lot of autonomy tied in. You know, you can schedule a meeting with whoever you want there. There's tea. You know, you can adjust the temperature on the coffee. These small things can go a long way.
I mean, there's some irony there. This TV show was filmed in a famous building that used to house Bell Labs in New Jersey back when AT&T was a monopoly. And the whole architecture there is this really big common space to force people to interact outside their cubicles. So that's where they actually filmed the fictitious TV show, in the real building that was attempting to do a grand version of your coffee machine.
Interesting, interesting. I think, you know, I'm very privileged that I have that space where I can go, kind of the commons, and I have my office where I can go hide and zone out for a moment. And, you know, there's this idea in social psychology called optimal distinctiveness theory that says, you know, people need to belong to social groups, but also people need to be independent at the same time. And so, you know, I think as long as you're giving people opportunities for both that socialization in the group, feeling part of the group and doing what the group does, that's great. And you need to balance that, obviously, with independence as well.
You're halfway across the country from me right now, but am I detecting battle scars in your voice about some forced socialization, some old trauma in your career, maybe, Adam?
A little bit. You know, we academics are a little bit strange to begin with, and you get us socializing, and that's a strange situation as well. You know, I think I've seen the good and the bad of it. The key thing to watch out for is the forced component. I think when, you know, we have kind of quarterly get-togethers that are encouraged, or we celebrate, you know, one of our colleagues, even a colleague who might be moving on elsewhere, those events are completely nice. But when you're trying to get people who have worked together for decades and don't really have much in common or much to say to each other to have lunch every week, I don't think that's going to go a long way. And it's going to make people maybe just a little bit resentful.
You've sat through that lunch?
I've sat through that lunch. Those lunches are totally fine. But what I keep coming back to is all of these, you know, newfangled aspects of the 21st century workplace, you know, regular lunches, kitchens. You know, I've been to some of these Silicon Valley companies with, you know, massage therapists on hand, wood shops, etc. My problem with them is at the end of the day, you're still keeping people at work. And I think that does something to sap their autonomy. So even if the intentions are good, I think having the option to just go home, or as the founder of Patagonia says, let my people go surfing, I think that's the right attitude.
Adam Waitz is a psychologist and a professor of management and organizations at the Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern. Thank you very much.
Thank you.